The Allegheny Mountain String Project offers life-enhancing and transformative opportunities for students living in the rural Virginia counties of Allegheny, Bath, and Highland. Come along and discover just how with Jamie McArdle, co-founder of the Allegheny String Project at the Garth Newell Music Center. Afterwards, we'll visit with a mother of one of the students, Laura Whitmer, who shares her pride and support for her 8-year-old daughter, Savannah, and Savannah's passion for playing the violin. Laura also shares some context about their distinctive life in the region. The family lives at the Boys Home of Virginia, where Laura's husband serves as the program director. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Come along and join us.
So this is the Allegheny Mountain String Project. These are some of my students that have come up to share with you today.
Hi, I'm Romeo Darpa. I'm 18, and I've been playing in the program for 6 or 7 years.
I'm Julia Villegas, and I'm 18 years old. I've been in this program for about 5 years now.
I'm Alan Kimmel. I am 16. I've been in this program for 7 years now.
I'm Savannah Whitmer. I'm 7 years old, and I've been here for 2 years.
Great. And I'm Jamie McArdle, the program director and their instructor. So the first tune we'll start with is Amazing Grace, and we have two soloists for Amazing Grace who will be Madison and then Julie, and they learn music from every angle. So they learn classical traditions, how to read music, how to play Mozart and Brahms, hopefully, and Beethoven, Bach. And they also learn right from the beginning that you can improvise. Some of my students improvise before they're playing a lot, even just using rhythms, just having fun with music.
Talk to us for a moment about the kids here. This is rural Virginia, so this might be their only opportunity.
Absolutely. So locally, there are band programs in the schools, but there's never been a organized string program. A few teachers here and there that have come and gone. So here at Garth Newell in 2010 or so, we decided to take on education on a bigger level and create a project that gave an organized opportunity, a comprehensive program for students in the area. And because we're so rural, we decided to take this corridor on 220 that has at least some good roads between it and no big mountains. And we combined forces with a teacher up in Highland who had recently retired there from teaching in the Northern Virginia school districts. And we pulled our resources together, and as Garth Newell in the center geographically and as our home base and biggest supporter, we have a program now that gives private lessons in violin, viola, cello, or bass. They can do chamber music opportunities as they're ready, and also a youth orchestra that's been created that our other teacher, that's her specialty, and she runs that.
And real briefly, funding, do the kids pay to attend?
They pay on a sliding scale. We have major funding from the Allegheny Foundation that takes care of a lot of what we don't have to pass on to the students.
So there really is no bar to participation?
No. We make this available to everybody, and that was very important to us in the beginning. So students who are able to pay their lesson fees in full, they are able to. Otherwise, we have a financial aid program, and we also offer instrument help to find rentals, so that every child that wants to play, we will never have a barrier to them being able to participate, even though it's a private program.
And then you were talking about, like, you have a background in San Francisco, mm-hmm. Bay Area, urban area, where there's an intense push, whether it's sports or music or whatever, to become a professional. But that's not the reality for most people in America.
Here, we really want to see young people have music as part of their lives for the rest of their lives. And that's a founding principle and why we've chosen to base this on the American Music System, which is a pretty new, we're one of the starter projects that has taken that on. And the concept is, if you only learn classical musician type playing, you are stuck if you don't go into a professional world or play in a community orchestra. Where these kids, because they learn to improvise and to be able to play different styles right from the beginning, if they decide that they don't want to play in an orchestra or they want to go into some other science, etc., they're able to still jump in with a bluegrass band or play some rock with their friends or find a way to socially continue in music in a way that works for them.
And that is a part of the dynamic of the cultural experience in rural Virginia, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we're right here in the heart of the Blue Ridge and the Shenandoahs and Appalachia, and old-time music is really born in these parts, and it's a very strong cultural thing, which is one of the reasons we decided to start with this American Music System. And most of the kids begin with the Mark O'Connor music book to start with. And what I also love about that, that's important to us, is we include history to each of these pieces so that when they learn about, when the Saints go marching in, they learn why it was written, what the lyrics mean, where it comes from, and what style of music it is, and how the history of music has shaped our country and our world. And that's very important to us as well, to creating a whole person.
That's cool. And that context makes,
makes a lot of difference in music. And every concert, these guys will tell you, they all come up on stage and they're expected to say something about their piece and connect with the audience in a way that Garth Newell also does with their classical performances. And that's very important to me, that they learn that instead of just presenting a piece of music to people, they're presenting something bigger than that. Their piece means something to them, hopefully, and they can share that even briefly with the audience.
And I understand that improv is intrinsic into the American model. Tell us about that. That must be fun for them.
I hope it's fun for them. One thing I've noticed is that some kids are really great at reading and taking instruction and playing in the orchestra setting, and some kids are really great at just jamming off and playing creative stuff. And so it's fun as a teacher to help them balance those different aspects.
In both directions.
Both directions. And that's what we want, as a kid who's able to balance those out really well. But it is a lot of fun. And we do improv in a lot of our lesson situations, and we jam together, and I hope that they enjoy that. I think some do more than others. But it's great to connect those parts of the brain because it makes us able to think better and problem solve and be smarter.
Let's talk to the kids for a moment.
This is Savannah Whitmer.
Hi, Savannah.
Hello.
And you are seven?
Eight.
Eight. Nice. Happy birthday. And do you like playing?
Yes.
What do you enjoy the most about it?
Learning about more strings.
Which strings are the more strings?
G.
Oh, the G string. So we start on the upper two strings a lot, right? The A string and the E string. And so exploring those other strings on the violin, because there's four, that's a lot of fun.
I'm Alan Kimmel.
And your dad is a musician?
Yes, sir.
So that is what gave you the spark?
Yes, I think so.
And what do you want to do with your music looking forward?
I'm playing with the idea of becoming a violinist. It's just relaxing for me. So
a professional violinist?
Yes.
Concert or?
Whatever I can do.
Do you do bluegrass?
Yes, sir.
And she was mentioning earlier about context of the music that you guys play. For example, When the Saints Go Marching In. Do you guys ever visualize historically those who went before us, what they were thinking when they played that same music?
Yeah.
Tell us about what your feelings.
Whenever I start a piece, I've always found it really helpful to think about why it was written and the context it was written in. So it always has helped me learn it, and I've always thought it was really interesting that past people have done the same stuff.
Jamie introduces us with the Mark O'Connor method, but I've always diverged from the more American. I've gone to the classical more. It tends to be more complicated and just more interesting for me.
And she was talking about ad-libbing. Do you like doing that? Just like making stuff up?
With improvising, I think that we all play the same things at some point, but with improvising, we make it our own in some way. You also share different techniques and pick up on what others play, and you can take that even further and make it your own also.
Okay, I think improvising is great. You could just be able to pick up a violin or a musical instrument, and you'll be able to just pick it up and play something new every time, and doing that, I think it helps you in all areas of music, like being able to play stuff, even like when you read music. I think it helps all around.
Do you ever surprise yourself hearing music that you make?
Yes, I think I do, because like occasionally I'll just, you know, like play a piece, and then I'll be able to pick it up and just improvise and make that piece kind of my own, like by just improvising.
Do you keep building on it and it evolves?
Yes. Like, I could play a piece, and then I would just play it and just keep adding on parts to it until it's nice.
Then we write it down, and it becomes a hit.
Yeah.
I've never really tried, like, improvising and stuff. Like, we had a workshop here not too long ago where the Bumper Jacksons came, and I just, like, improvising isn't for me. I'm more of, like, a by-the-book person. But I got into music because I think it really helps with, like, anxiety disorders and depression and stuff like that, and that's why I got into music. And I feel like you can express yourself, and there's many different types of music you can use, like classical, fiddle, even electric violin.
It kind of take you into a zone and just kind of focus.
Yeah. Like, after my first violin lesson when I was, like, 13, I came home and I had just learned how to play the strings, and I sat there and I just played the strings for about 2 hours and did nothing else.
Just for fun. Yeah. That's very cool. Well, thank you guys so much. This is really great.
Good. Well, I really appreciate the chance to show these guys off. They're very special.
No, I'll say. Mm-hmm. Can they do one more song?
I think so. Do you want to play something, Eli? What would you like to pick if we had to do something that you'd remember and you could throw in a solo for? Okay, so the very first piece that most of our students learn is a classic from the 1700s, which puts it in box time, only over here in America, and it's Boil the Cabbage Down, and it's a really simple tune. It's only made up of about 4 notes, but as you'll be able to see as everyone gets a little turned through it, that you can do a lot with something very simple. Let's start on this side with Savannah as we go across. So we'll give Savannah, Alan, Julie, Romeo, Eli will go last. And Madison, you want to take a turn at it? I know this is new for you.
Yeah, because the first time I played this was at the Bluegrass Festival.
Yeah, so these guys, most of them, played at the Bluegrass Jamboree just in April. That's a wonderful opportunity we have locally. There's a bluegrass band, Southern Rail Express, and they've been very generous with their time and worked with these students, and sometimes they'll invite them to open a show or to play with them, and so they get a chance to actually play with a bluegrass band. One year, some of you actually, because it was a couple years back, actually were able to go into a recording studio and learn about the recording process with that band as they did the last track on one of their CDs.
Wow,
yeah, and that was
cool,
neat.
Yeah.
That was very neat. Okay, so we're gonna start with what we call Down Pony Up Pony. Right? We're gonna go through and everyone's gonna get a chance to do a solo, and we'll chop if you're not soloing. Thank you.
job.
That was
really great.
Thank you so much.
You guys, thank you for being great ambassadors for our program.
Laura Whitmer?
Yes, sir.
So your kid is?
Savannah.
Oh, wonderful. Precious.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just thinking, where is she going to be in 10 years?
Oh, yes, sir. I wonder the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So she just turned 8?
Yes, sir, she did in
and
May.
She started playing at 5?
Six. 6 years old, yes, sir.
That's so cool. So she's obviously a natural, right?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about music, mm-hmm. But I wanted to put her in the program. I think it enhances her all around, and she'll have that treasure of being able to play an instrument when she's an adult, and one day, Lord willing, she may have a family. So
very cool. And she likes doing it on her own. You don't have to push.
I don't. I'm not one that wants to push her to practice. I do provide some structure for her after she does her homework. During the school year, she practices for at least 30 minutes, and during the summer, we keep her involved with playing. Mm-hmm.
Has she ever given you any feedback about what she likes about it, what's most rewarding for her?
I think she enjoys the recitals, being able to perform in front of others. It builds her confidence, and Miss McGardle does an excellent job with working with her. A lot of times in her lessons, she'll provide life skills, mm-hmm. and she'll incorporate structure with the music, with things that she needs to learn to be a productive citizen. Mm-hmm.
So you can see the benefits already.
Oh, yes, sir. One other reason I wanted to put her in music is for academically, it enhances your worldview and the way you perform in school.
Well, she's obviously confident because something looks shy about her.
Shy? She isn't quite shy. She's mostly shy around strangers, but we live at the boys' home of Virginia in Covington. It's a residential home for boys, mm-hmm. and she is constantly surrounded by several people, and she most of the time is surrounded by people in society to where she has to carry herself at a higher standard because she's representing not only her, but the program of Boys Home. Mm-hmm. And so she...
So she's grown up with it.
She has grown up with it, and she has a very strong personality. And so, Lord willing, in the future, I see her maybe running her own company or definitely being a leader in some area, but violin enhances those skills in her.
And so your husband, is it admin there? Or?
He is. He's the program director, and he actually grew up at Boys Home. He was raised on the streets and didn't have any structure, and so it was either staying in detention or go to Boys Home, and so he did. And after he found his relationship with Christ, Boys Home really impacted his life and gave him the structure he needed. So, and we have the opportunity to raise our 2 children at Boys Home.
And how many kids are at Boys Home? How big is it?
Yes, sir. We average around 60 residents, mm-hmm. and we were founded in 1906. And we're actually going through a major transition where we're fixing up our buildings and our cottages, and we're trying to raise money for the continual growth of the program. And it's been around since 1906.
That's so cool. So it's at-risk teens mostly?
At-risk young men. Most of them are coming from single-home families where the mother is only there. We also have residents that have been adopted from out of the states, from different countries, and they come to the families here in America, and for some reason there's some struggle, and our doors are open to them as well.
Is it ecumenical? Is it non-denominational? What are the auspices of the organization?
Yes, absolutely. Well, Boys Home was founded by Reverend George Floyd Rogers, who was an Episcopal minister. And so we have the support of the Diocese of Southwestern Virginia. But we are nonprofit, mm-hmm. so all of our contributions come from donors. The diocese plays a huge factor in that, along with just people around the nation and the world that just want to donate to a cause to help at-risk youth. Boys Home is a great place that you can do that.
Cool. Well, who wouldn't guess that we would have started out music and wound up talking about
Boys Home? Well, I know my husband. I wasn't sure what we would be walking in today. Mm-hmm. I just know I was told to come and bring Savannah. But if there's an opportunity also that we can talk about Boys Home, we'd like to try to get it out there.
Yeah. So. Well, it's a good cause.
So. Yes, sir, it is. It is.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having us and for being here, for your support.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.